Hello, and thank you for joining us. My name is Melissa Bonnet.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. I'm your host and lead audio technician, Evan Starnes. And I have to say, I don't know how long it's been since we've done one of these episodes, but it's been a long time. I think like the last Volunteer Spotlight was the end of last year, very, very tail end, right before the big move. So real quick, I'm going to keep, usually I have a little segment at the front for some housekeeping, try to keep this quick. We've moved. We're in a new office space in Louisville, Colorado. We also have switched up the way we do the Volunteer of the Month. So now, instead of calling and announcing the volunteer at the very, very beginning of the month, we will be sending out the Volunteer of the Month for last month at the beginning of next month. And so that being said, the volunteer of the month for March. How appropriate. March, it's Melissa Bonnet. Welcome under the volunteer spotlight, Melissa. It is good to have you here, and happy Friday, of course.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
Absolutely. I always like to, as I say, I always like to kick off the show with some fun little getting started questions here. So what is, Melissa, what is like one unique thing that, what is one like big thing you'd like us to know about you? Like a fun fact. I know it's super cliche, but
let's see about me. Well, I play a lot of tennis and love the outdoors, a lot of hiking, biking, running, all that.
That's a great, I love that answer. very cool. How long have you been playing tennis?
Oh, well, as a growing up, a family of four kids, six, we would play tennis all the time. I never played competitively until I was in my 30s and started playing leagues. And I've been playing ever since in leagues, USTA. Lot of fun, mostly in Boulder, some in Arizona. But it's, as long as I can do it, I keep doing it.
That's your sport, it sounds like, for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely my sport. I do other ones, but that's the main one.
It's fun. I love the sound of tennis. I think it's, like, you can hear some sports, I feel like, over crowd noise, and tennis is one of them. It's like, it sounds cool, and I've never actually observed a tennis game, but either way, I think it's a fun sport, so. And yeah. I mean, always hiking. Everybody has to hear me talk about hiking all the time. And intent on our audio trekker's hike this summer.
I'll look for that.
Yeah, it's coming up in September. But
right.
I digress. So, unrelated, but what, as far as, audio content, what is your absolute, favorite thing to listen to, whether that be, audiobooks, podcasts, music, or something I didn't mention?
It's funny. I do enjoy the audiobooks, but I've only literally listened to one. But I have friends and family that they swear by audiobooks because of the reader. The author doesn't necessarily always read their books. And so they'll get someone to read aloud who has enthusiasm or the accent or whatever of the book. So I need to do that more, but I do love music. I do listen to music a lot.
Well, what kinds of music do you like to listen to?
Well, all kinds. I mean, there isn't any music I would... I can take little bursts of some genres, but mostly I like kind of alternative, some alternative rock, some alternative jazz, some, maybe inspirational.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. Alt rock, I feel like alt rock is kind of my default. Like, it's kind of the It's like the, if you could listen to one genre only for the rest of your life, it would be, you know, I feel like alt rock's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yep. Mm. So I have on my phone a lot of different genres. And then when I kind of get tired of a song I've heard too many times, I just delete it and record, you know, find something else.
Absolutely. To me, music to me is a language. That's how I've always seen it. That's why I always ask, you know, because you can tell, especially if people, you say that they like to listen to music, you can tell a lot about who somebody is by the type of music they listen to.
That is very true. And I have a couple of grandchildren, and the oldest is turning 5 on Earth Day, and she loves music. And I can just see the change in her when I'll put some music on from my phone. She goes into dance mode right away.
Yeah. No, I mean, and a quick side tangent, just because I thought of this, but I heard about a young girl that had a condition that where she would just basically sneeze nonstop. It's like, it's an interesting condition. I've heard of a couple people that have that, but the interesting thing is that the only thing that could help her not sneeze was listening to the Beatles. Which is really interesting.
I have heard of people that do have that condition, but I didn't know they could stop it by a certain band.
Artist, yeah. I love, because I mean, as a Beatles fan, that makes me very happy. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Well, goodness, you've been a volunteer. You've surpassed, to my knowledge, your 25-year mark. How long exactly have you been with AfterSight?
Well, very interesting. We lived in Denver for 10 years, 11 years, and then we moved to Arizona for a year. My husband had a job change, and we wanted to move back to Colorado. So we were only there a year, and we moved back to Boulder in 1999, and then in 2000, I started reading back when it was radio reading of the Rockies.
Service of the Rockies.
Yep. Service of the Rockies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was interesting because I started reading the Eastern Plains paper. And, you know, we would get the physical print. And so you'd have to read your articles ahead of time and do maybe a little editing before you started reading. And to fill an hour program, I had to, you know, read obituaries, the price of corn, kind of what was going on in the agricultural fields. And then I just started reading the Christian Science Monitor, of course, and that I read both. And through the years, it's gone from print to, you know, print, then computer recording in the studio, and then obviously all digital from home after COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been a fun journey.
Sounds like it's definitely been quite a journey. Did you, by chance, do any of, like, the live shows that we used to do?
No, I never did. I wish I would have.
Well, they're a whole different beast because, yes, you know, it's like what you say gets broadcast out. So,
yeah. Yeah. And back then we could kind of edit, you know, if we started a sentence and it was wrong place or whatever. So we could go back. But now without that capability, I find myself going, I kind of lost myself on the page. I got to go back and just keep going.
Section. Yeah, because it's like, where'd you leave off? Or
well, it's like different. Yeah, there's been a little different change on the computer in that. Anyway, I can lose a page really easily.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because back in like the early days when newspapers were all in print, and I mean, frankly, when there are a lot more of them, it wasn't just, you know, sit down and cold read and hit record. In fact, I wouldn't really recommend that people exactly do that nowadays, you know, like at least know ahead of time what you're gonna be reading. But I think even, you know, back then people had to cut out and like stitch together different papers or bits of magazines. It was a a lot more of a manual process. And you started in 2000. As a geek, before we were recording on computers, do you remember how you would actually go in and record specifically? Like, was it a tape?
Well, no, it was still the computer. So there'd be two screens. Oh. One, and, you know, you could go back and forth, but one was the recording screen. And that was after the page was digital. But I'd have no idea the technological recording devices.
It was on the computer, though.
It was. Uh-oh. Well, I'm guessing that's what it was. It was, we'd hit record and stop, pause, and then start up again. But
there was no portal or any of that, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. No portal for sure.
So a lot of stuff back then wasn't nearly as automated as it is today, obviously. I think it's always interesting to hear how far we've come, you know, as an org, and especially with our recording technology, and what still has stayed the same. Because I started here in 2021. So I didn't actually know, for instance, that the studio still had always had the two monitors set up. I thought that was kind of a new thing, but
Yeah, I can't say exactly when that started, the two screens in the studios, but it along the way we had to learn just here's the new way of doing things, and you just followed suit, and it was never difficult, obviously. No. But it's been fun.
Absolutely. Well, do you remember what your first time ever recording your very, very first audio edition? What was that like? Do you remember?
Gosh, it was so long ago, but I loved it. I've always read aloud, whether to my kids. I used to read to a woman when we lived in Denver in a nursing home. I'd read novels to her because she was a librarian, and she couldn't read anymore, see the printed page. And so I've always loved it. And so to read without knowing who was out there, who your audience was a totally different experience. And not knowing how I would come across, or if I was coming across in a way that the recipient was hearing it, it was very different and a little unnerving, but then I grew to like it because, you know, I wasn't looking specifically at people listening. I just read as I read the page.
Yeah. The only thing listening is a microphone.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. And there was a time, actually for years, that a listener was regularly writing in with comments and what she liked and the articles. And so it was nice to get that feedback.
Absolutely. How frequent do you remember how frequent that came in? Like monthly or because?
Oh, sometimes once a week. Or, you know, whenever she listened daily. So I would just hear comments of what I had read. And I know, you know, back when Kat Lundgren was the volunteer coordinator, she would pass that information along to each one of us. And we really appreciated it. It was nice.
Absolutely. And it's actually something... It's been something I've been trying to figure out how to get more of, because people listen, they just don't call anymore or call, you know, they don't. So it's kind of trying to figure out, you know, how do we emphasize that people are listening and how do we encourage them to reach out and, you know, and give that kind of feedback?
Sure.
Because I actually didn't, to be honest, I didn't know that, because I'd kind of always assumed things were always the same, you know, people would. people would give feedback if something was down, but they wouldn't necessarily say like, hey, I like the way Melissa read this article, or I like the way John, you know, handled this particular touchy subject or whatever. People just listen and it just becomes a part of their thing and of their routine, and they just don't think to. So,
yeah, maybe they don't know that. And you know, it's good to get feedback too if
I agree.
They, you know, something they don't like, and that can be changed.
Because that's the biggest thing. Because, like, you know, we can listen to volunteers and stuff all the time. And, you know, I mean, I do qualify as a listener myself, but, you know, there's plenty of other people out there. And yeah, it would definitely be, I think it'd be beneficial to, I'd love to get more feedback. So maybe more listener surveys. It's food for thought for me, that's for sure.
Good. Yeah.
I wanted to bring up something too. It was actually a point that I'd heard when you had put out your, is when we had volunteers that had done 25, I think it was 25 plus years or 20 plus years. No, it would have had to have been 20 plus years with us. We gave them the opportunity to make a video, basically commemorating their time here at AfterSight and kind of sharing how they got involved. But that what actually struck me was the point that you'd made about how you used to read for somebody in a, I guess, a I don't know, a nursing home, whatever it was.
Yeah. But,
So that's actually basically the catalyst as far as what motivated you to become a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah. I actually, you know, back then when the newspaper, the Boulder Daily Camera, had classified ads, and when we moved back to Boulder, I thought, I want to volunteer. I mean, I was volunteering in both my daughter's classrooms, but I wanted to do more. And I saw an ad for volunteer readers for the Rocky Mountain reading services. Yeah, radio reading. So, yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Absolutely.
And I, I went and pursued it and, you know, have done it ever since.
So you, but before that, yeah, you were effectively your own radio reading service for this person.
Yeah, I guess so.
And actually, and organizations like AfterSight, like reading services, have been around for centuries. I think that actually started after the end of World War II with blinded veterans. And it originally was like what you were doing. People would volunteer and they would literally just go to these folks' homes and read newspapers to them. And so that's kind of how it all started. I mean, we're actually pretty recent as far as reading services, but that's pretty cool.
It's such a great service. I tell you, it really is. Mm-hmm. I know I've talked to several people who listen in, and just the convenience and not only getting the news, but the programs, podcasts, and books read. It's really a phenomenal service.
Thank you. And I think it's multifaceted because, you know, and the information nowadays is more prevalent than ever before and easier to access than ever for some people, not for everybody.
Right.
Sometimes you want to go on a website and read a newspaper, but it's full of ads, and sometimes the thing isn't accessible at all, or it has an automatically read thing, but it's read by a robot, and that's another big thing. And we have had volunteers ask us, oh, why don't you just read with computer voices? You can never replace, I don't care how good your AI voice is, you can never replace a human. Period.
That's, for sure.
Absolutely. And speaking of computers, let's talk a little bit about your recording setup. I always like to do this mainly because, well, I'm a geek, number one. And people sometimes have some pretty unique recording setups. One that comes to mind was a lady named Jerry Gingra that we interviewed a few months ago that she read in bed. Her recording studio was a bed. And her sound dampening was pillows. So,
what?
Yeah, isn't that, it's something. So, yeah, what's your, can you kind of give the audience, like, paint a picture of what your recording setup looks like?
Well, I have an office in the back of the house, and it's funny, through trial and error, what I've done. I used to leave the drapes and the blinds open, and then I heard that there was kind of reverberation. So I closed the drapes, all the drapes, and I have a Yeti microphone hooked up to my laptop. And that's pretty much it. I have little headphones I put on, and pretty low tech. But
it sounds great.
Oh, good. Well, that's great. So I kind of just do the same routine every week. As long as the feedback is good, I'll keep doing it. Although I will say we are moving to Golden next month, so I'll have to set up a new kind of noise dampening room. That bed situation with the pillows sounds pretty comfy.
Well, even that, or a closet, or something like that.
Totally.
Although, I don't know, closets can get cramped sometimes depending on the space.
But I do know that having a window, because the window is right in front of me, having it closed with a soft fabric is, I guess, dampens the noise.
It does help. Even noise dampening wise, as far as having, like, I found having a soft rug on the floor or in conjunction with curtains, it really does make a number. You don't have to like put up studio foam or any of that fancy stuff. So
yeah, I wondered that. I actually ran into a woman about 3 years ago when I was in Kansas City, and she read and still reads for the Library
Audio
of
Reader.
Congress.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and she records data, books, information that they keep on audio file. And she actually built a room with that material, that foam material, to dampen any sound. She's got a very professional looking, she showed me a picture of it, small room that she records in at home.
Yeah, some people build their own booths. Like they have, Volunteer I was talking to a few months ago, they have like a phone booth. That's what it looks like. It's made out of these like construction bricks, and the inside is just completely coated in foam, and the table is made out of like, it's padded, and the floor is padded. Like it's a padded room, effectively.
Yeah, we all need one of those.
Yeah, sometimes we do, especially when technology yeah. does what technology does. So
yes. You know. I agree.
Well, we're nearing the end of the spotlight here, but I always like to give folks the chance to ask me any questions. You know, if you have any questions for me, Evan Starnes, or if you have any questions or feedback for Aftersight.
Well, I have to say, I'm so impressed by you, and really many that have worked there at Aftersight and before when it was different names. With the ability of not having sight, but able to work the computer, recording, find places. I know when I came in, I was having difficulty with my laptop, and you knew exactly where to go, where to find the software that I needed in order to record at home. I'm so impressed. You are full of sight in so many ways. So I do appreciate that. And I look forward to seeing your new offices before I move.
Absolutely.
You're actually not far from me. You're down the street. So.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you'll be able to do the open house. Yeah, I thought your laptop was a MacBook. That was the funny part.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. It looks like one, but.
Yes, yeah. It's small.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, well, we'll definitely appreciate it. You got to be here in the days of like Paul Megarelli, the original control room, or the original board manager, whatever.
David Dawson.
David Dawson. Mm-hmm. You might have met Ryan before Ozentowski.
Yep, Ryan. Mm-hmm.
Great dude.
So,
you got to meet a lot of folks. We can get around a computer with you'd be surprised at how efficiently and how quickly you can get around a computer using just the keyboard. It's
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is pretty.
And I do miss those days when we used to be in the studio and see everybody. And
I do too.
So these different activities that you have, like the open house and when you had the ice cream social and all that, are fun for all of us to get to get together.
And we will be doing, and I'm glad you said that, because we will be probably doing an ice cream social this summer, because it was very popular. It was the most well-attended event I'd ever seen it in my time here a couple of years ago.
There you go.
And I'd love to be able to bring people back in. I think I don't want to touch on any COVID stuff too much because it's touchy, but I think, you know, especially nowadays, it is vital that we... Spending time together is important, but spending time physically together where you can shake hands and eat together and talk together, it's very extremely important. And I think we need to do more of that.
Yeah, there always used to be chocolate in the office. Anybody who was volunteering could grab some chocolate.
Well, we can make that happen easily. There's always going to be, especially with like... Michael and everybody, and especially me here, there's going to always be breath mints and candy in this office.
Mark there you words. Go.
And coffee.
That'll bring people in.
Absolutely. Well, in a typical cliche way of ending one of these spotlights, do you by chance have any like cheesy or just, you know, words of inspiration or just a something that you'd like to leave us with before I wrap this up?
Well, again, I will reiterate, I am just so impressed with AfterSight and the service it provides for, you know, really everyone who has the need and can't access news or read the printed page. To have it right at their fingertips. So it is a wonderful service, and I have definitely enjoyed being a part of it for the last 25 years.
we're glad to have you as a volunteer for sure. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. If you have any feedback about this podcast or any of our other podcasts, or if you just like to chat with us, you can always email us at, you can email our general feedback at, which is feedback@aftersight.org, or leave a voicemail on our feedback hotline, or would you call it a hotline? Our voicemail line. That's going to be 720-712-8856. And yeah, with that being said, I'd like to thank you guys for coming back and joining us for another episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. I'm glad, I think we're getting back into the swing of things here, and so these will be coming out. They should be, ideally, we're a little behind now, they will be releasing the first Tuesday of every month. And like I said, the Volunteer of the Month from last month will be announced at the beginning of the following month. So yeah, back in the swing of things. I'm glad to be back on doing these spotlights. And yeah, Melissa, thanks for joining me today. And we will definitely talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.